Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Salty Sisters. I'm Brianna.
I'm Kristen. Hello.
Hi, welcome back.
You welcome back.
I know. This is the first time Kristen and I have seen each other in person in almost 2 weeks.
I know. That is really weird. Bri's been very sick, where I've refused to be around her. Not that she would want me to be around her, but...
Nah. Yeah, the surprise at Mark's parents went really well. His dad also surprised us with being sick. So just kidding. But yeah.
But not.
But not. And then on the one of the most white knuckle drives on the way home, we were like halfway and I started to get sinusy and I was like, fuck. And yeah, and then I got super sick. And
now you're not.
Now we're not. It's the first day I felt good. Going to Spring and Porter tonight for happy hour. I was so excited to go outside today and go get some coffee. It's just like the world is just my oyster.
This is really special.
I know.
I was sick a couple weeks ago.
She sure was. We have so much to catch up on and so much we couldn't go over because we were off last week.
Right. But let's just move right along.
We don't want to talk too much about the Oscars because at this point it feels like it was about 5 years ago. But I feel like we want to still say a couple of our favorite looks. Would you like to go first?
Sure. I would say Carrie Mulligan is probably my best dressed. But I loved Jennifer Lawrence's dress. The polka dots. I just thought it was really untraditional. I loved it. Lupita Nyong'o, Zendaya.
Do you know that she dates Joshua Jackson now?
I did know that was speculated for quite a while, and finally it's confirmed.
Yeah.
They're a good-looking couple, man.
Mm-hmm.
I had Zendaya, and then Eva Longoria looked really nice.
Oh, God, I didn't even see her.
Yeah. I don't remember what she was wearing, but I have it.
I know. It's hard when you have these names, and I'm like, God, I wonder what these dresses actually looked like.
Right.
I have Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons. They looked great. Quinta Brunson from Abbott Elementary.
Was she at the Oscars or
Vanity
after
Fair?
Party? Okay, I have my after party.
Oh, did you have it separated?
It's okay. I wasn't going to mention them.
So pretty. I loved it. And then also at the after party, Selma Blair.
Mm.
Super cute.
Nice.
And yeah, you named everything else that I named or that I had on. So
ooh. I thought Kim K and Kylie looked really good at the after parties.
Yeah.
Kylie looked like perfection.
Do you think her relationship with Timothée Chalamet has really changed her? Like, it seems like
she's in her Timothy era.
Like, it seems as though she's not as dolled up. Like, she's just leaning into her more natural beauty more. So I think she has been looking really great because she's just... She just seems more toned down, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, she looks really good. And then a couple of my worst were, one of them was, of course, Ariana Grande.
Dude, I can't believe she was on every best dress list I saw.
I know.
I mean, why is she talking like that? Hey. People, you know how they kept saying that one dude, the Elvis guy who I can't stand, was in his Elvis persona for so long. People are saying that she's now stuck in the Glenda the Good Witch.
Oh, yeah, I did see a... Yeah.
It makes me want to bang my head against the wall.
And also Emma Stone felt a little flat for me. I mean, she looked great, but the color didn't do it for me. And I love her so much. I'm so glad she won. But yeah.
And I mean, I guess we'll just talk about this. What the fuck was up with Emily Blunt's and the other, the floating shoulder?
I really liked Emily Blunt's. What I didn't like was how it had an outline of underwear.
That was weird.
But I really liked it otherwise.
It was, it was all right. I thought the shoulders were just dumb.
I liked it, but yeah. It was people liked it or they didn't.
Yeah.
Polarizing.
Very polarizing.
moving on from the Oscars?
Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on. I do have one thing. Jimmy Kimmel, the clips that I saw from the Oscars were super fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's all due to Jimmy Kimmel. But my favorite thing was when fucking douchebag Trump or something said something about him being the worst Oscar host. And he was like, isn't it past your jail time? Hey, don't you have better things to do? Anyways, I love Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Okay, yeah, now we can move on from the Oscars.
I'm hopeful that when I ask this, you're not going to be
upset.
Talk
about Botox?
No, I would love to not talk about Botox again. Have you been keeping up with the Kate Middleton situation?
Okay. So, funny enough, I had this in my unclickables last week, but now you can't avoid it. And I think I had it in my unclickables because I had no idea really what was going on. It's every podcast I listen to is commenting on it. I don't understand.
It's amazing. The Photoshop fail.
The Photoshop thing, the pictures that have come out where people are still saying they're fake with the wreaths in the background.
The conspiracy theories are just running rampant.
How are they so bad at this?
I know.
I mean, I was listening to Nick Viall's podcast. Like, is she dead? I mean, obviously, she's probably not dead. But, like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, and then there was also, like, the rumors that Prince Charles was dead. Oh, they had to come out with the thing saying, nope, he's not.
But, I mean, like, is he? Has anybody seen any of these people?
I know. What's going on with the firm?
Are her parents okay? Like, how are they not? Are her parents alive? I guess I don't really know.
They are. And my understanding is they really lean into, like, what the royal family wants.
God. Fucking royal. Man, I wonder if this is going to be, like, the end of... Or, like, if this is, like, starting to dwindle, this royal family thing and it being, like, a monarchy and a thing. I know it's never going to go away, but it just seems like the more and more we hear about this, the farther out of people's grace they fall.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know a lot about the royal family other than they killed Princess Diana, but R.I.P.
I mean, the paparazzi killed Princess Diana. But
I don't know, man. Did they?
Do you, like, keep up with Kate Middleton at all or any of the royals? No. Okay. I love Kate Middleton's style. I mean, like, she just looks good in everything.
Yeah, she's very cute. I just, with the Harry and Meghan stuff, it got to be just so much with the royal family. And now it's, you know, if he's having an affair and that one girl has been brought back into this.
Rose.
Prince William is not attractive at all. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Right. Cool. I'm glad you're kind of keeping up with it because I was pretty obsessed. Like, I didn't do any research myself because it's all been done for me. So, like, Ringer Dish, the girls had it 2 weeks in a row. And yeah.
Can you, by looking, the people that can spot these Photoshops amaze me.
I know.
Because I looked at that photo and I'm like, what looks wrong? What looks wrong? And then I had to scroll down to where they, like, pinpointed things that were wrong. And I was like, who the fuck notices this stuff?
And then when they pinpointed it, did you still understand what was wrong?
Some of them, but not I really. I mean, like
the tile in the floor, I'm like, huh?
Or the crease in the sweater or something, I'm like, oh my God.
Very odd.
But yeah, woof. Don't say woof.
Yeah, you say woof too much.
Can we, before we go into our clickables,
Oh, I thought we were already talking about our clickables.
Well, yeah, but like dive much further into it. I have to go back to something that was in my notes previously. So the Saturday before Mark and I left, we had Kristen and Phil over for dinner and we went down this Woodstock hole and I have a note to talk about it because there's that documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, we watched the documentary on Netflix, the Woodstock 1999 documentary. It was in fucking insane.
So Mark and I haven't watched it yet, but this led us to kind of YouTube performances from that 1999 Woodstock. Here's a couple of the highlights. Kristen, interject if I've missed any top ones. Kid Rock, Limp Bizkit, Korn,
Jewel.
Yeah. And then there's weird ones like Jewel, Alanis Morissette. There was another weird one in there that didn't belong.
There are so many.
Gavin Rossdale, which wasn't weird.
Bush.
But
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I feel like there's another girl in there somewhere.
Sheryl Crow.
It was the most bizarre thing to watch. This crowd of thousands and thousands of people, and I'm not even exaggerating.
No, I mean, Dave Matthews Band was there, Megadeth, I know.
Megadeth.
Limp Bizkit, Metallica, Godsmack, I mean, Seven Dust, Collective Soul, Creed, Wyclef, Counting Crows. I mean, just a lot. DMX.
So we watched a lot of Woodstock performances, and the crowd is quite amazing to watch when you see somebody like Limp Bizkit go on stage and then you see somebody like Jewel go on stage. Quite a shift in the energy in the crowd, but had some real gems of interviews. Kid Rock, for instance, was interviewed. Mind you, this was 1999. He made the comment about how his fame has exploded, which at this time it had. And when he looked back and was only selling 30 to 40,000 records, he was only able to get chicks that were 130 to 140 pounds. But then when he started selling more records, he was able to get the super hot supermodels. Dude, as soon as we heard this, Chris and I just looked at each other and we're like, what the fuck? 130 to 140 pounds? He says this like it's 300 to 400 pounds. Fuck you, Kid Rock. Can this motherfucker even get, like, a Trump performance at this time?
I'm sure he would love it.
Ugh. I mean, like, didn't he, though, actually perform at his inauguration?
I don't know. Kid Rock is fucking insane. So
anyways, these are just some of the, some things that wouldn't quite fly today.
Correct.
I wanted to get that in. I'm excited to watch the documentary, so I will comment on it next week further.
Yeah, I'll wait on my comments then, too.
Okay, cool. What else are we clicking on?
So Roadhouse came out, and it's actually got pretty decent decent reviews. It's actually got pretty decent reviews, and I'm probably going to watch it.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's not even like a remake. It's just like kind of a...
Like a spoof?
Yeah, a spoof. Okay. Like, and Jake Gyllenhaal's pretty, like, really good in it, and... I don't know. I read a couple of different reviews. It got like 68% on Rotten Tomatoes, which might be just right in the sweet spot.
Can you tell me what the last good Jake Gyllenhaal movie you've seen was?
Probably like Southpaw.
My God, that movie was terrible.
Oh, all right. I mean, fuck off.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I saw it on Netflix. I'm like, oh, I'd watch that again. So,
although it did have that good song. I can't think of it now, but is it Eminem? Doesn't matter. I would have to say Prisoners for me was probably the last good Jake Gyllenhaal movie. Anyways,
it's too long.
It is way too long. How are you feeling about this Beetlejuice movie?
I don't really have any feelings about it.
Got it.
I probably won't see it.
I will probably watch it on Plex. But it's everywhere. I couldn't avoid the trailer. I don't love...
Oh, how's the trailer?
It really doesn't show that much. It's some weird children's choir, which you know how we feel about children singing. Singing the... De La Comen. They're just singing that song creepily. And then they show a little bit of Winona Ryder, a little bit of Beetlejuice, and then... What's that girl's name?
Jenna Ortega.
Yeah, they show her in there too. Apparently Justin Theroux is in there.
Well, maybe so, I'll see it.
Yeah, it seems interesting. Speaking of Ariana Grande, excuse me, I just have her being a shitty human. This is from a couple weeks ago, but I do want to quote it. A source close to Lily, which is that dude's still wife, told the Daily Mail, Ariana's new album just shows what kind of woman she truly is. To sing a song called The Boy Is Mine is not only a slap in the face to his still wife, Lily, but a slap in the face to all women.
Mm-hmm. I know. Somebody's trying to spin it right now, like, that we don't know the whole story. And, well, then fucking tell me the whole story.
And, you know.
Fuck off.
I hate that she is just, like, playing into this so much. Yeah. It is really gross. And I've never liked her. I don't like her. And this is just kind of, I love that they said something about her being a shitty human being.
Well, to kind of piggyback off that, there was this Variety article that came out about the aging pop star, and it focuses on Justin Timberlake and J-Lo and a few more, but basically how, like, the rollout of Justin Timberlake's new album is almost identical to his rollout of his, like, Man in the Woods one that was, like, 10 years ago that didn't sell well.
Is that Sexy Back?
No.
Oh, God, I don't even know.
Yeah, there was no, like,
Suit and Tie?
I'm not sure. Okay. And just how, you know, he's having to rely on, like, the NSYNC reunion right now, and he's going on Saturday Night Live, and he's just, like, he's so in your face about it. And where they did compare it to Ariana Grande, how her album, like, the rollout she's doing is just so much better, which, sure, but it was interesting. The J-Lo aspect was the fact that, like, basically she self-financed this $20 million multi-platform story of her reunion with Ben Affleck, with, like, these two movies that came out, which the two movies did pretty good, but her concert is not selling. The album debuted at number 38 on the Billboard 200 and then just dropped off immediately. And, I mean, she just canceled, like, a bunch of shows.
Ooh.
So, and then basically, like, how people like Madonna and Prince and a lot of older artists, like, will try to come out with new music and shove it down your throats at concert when nobody wants to hear it. They want to hear the hits. And then once they do the hits, it's like they're adored again.
I will say, I still am interested in watching the Jennifer Lopez documentary, not that movie thing, but that is something that I just never heard of again.
Yeah.
It has just, like, fallen off. And I can't even imagine spending that much money on something. Here's the thing. Jennifer Lopez is a fantastic dancer. I think she's really good. Like, that's what she did way back when. I think she is just, she's obviously very beautiful. I don't think she's a great singer. Not that I don't love her music, because, I mean, ain't it funny? You know, we all love some good J-Lo bangers, but...
Bangers?
I would never go see her in concert, because... Ugh.
Oh, for sure.
You know? And I will say, with the Justin Timberlake thing, I watched a clip of that NSYNC performance, and it was so fucking cringy.
Oof.
Number one, he is wearing, like, pants and this blazer that are, like, 9 sizes too big for him. And the Tearing Up My Heart music video, I hope you all know what I'm referencing. They're doing that same dance move, the white guy dance move, where they're just, like, going back and forth like this. And that's what they're all doing up on stage when they're lip syncing the NSYNC songs. Hey, Chris Kirkpatrick, were you busy or didn't have a lot going on to do this show, huh?
Like, he didn't come?
No, he did. Sorry. Oh. I know I worded that wrong. Got like, it. You must have been really busy and had to cancel a lot of things to go perform
Don't
with Justin
Timberlake. Don't be a dick, Rach.
God.
You know what's probably like being Chris fucking Kirkpatrick? I'm just kidding.
That's probably fine.
It's true. Got a lot of royalties coming in. Also, Coachella had, it's the lowest ticket sales ever this year.
Give me two headliners.
Dua Lipa. Dewey, whatever the fuck. And
is Nicki Minaj going to be there?
Super just not good. Somebody I didn't know. And then No Doubt, of course, is going to be there. It's not good. It's not a good lineup.
There was something in my memories a couple days ago about somebody tagged me. And like, it was either 2011 or 2012 when the Lollapalooza lineup got announced. And the Killers must have been there, somebody else that I liked. And I was like, man, back when these things had lineups that were just like curated for us.
I know.
And now, you know what's sad is that these lineups are probably amazing to people 20 years younger than us.
I don't know.
Which,
babes.
Ugh, what else are we clicking on?
That's all I'm clicking on pretty much.
I did. This was from last week, or last time when we were going to record, but it was kind of a follow-up on the Miami Dolphins game when they played the Buffalo Bills during the playoffs. You only will remember this because a lot of the Miami fans got frostbite. They didn't understand how to dress for this weather, and it's just coming to light now, or it's been long enough now where like their frostbite hasn't healed. So there have just been dozens of people that have had to have amputations due to these frostbites, and they expect a lot more injuries to evolve as the time goes on.
I mean,
so
I feel like really stupid people must exist then in Florida, because if you like, have you never been out of Florida? I don't even know.
Common sense?
Yeah.
Anything?
Common sense.
Yeah.
You're starting to get a little cold, why don't you head into the corridor and warm up, you know?
I feel like they panned to some guy in that audience or in that.
His shirt off, probably.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
And survival. Lost that nipple. Sure. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then lastly, anything Kristen Stewart. I love her press tour that she's doing right now. I love everything that she's been wearing and everything that she's been saying. Talk about somebody who's just like, you know, she had that little scandal way back when, but she is just. I love her so much. And I know you do, too.
She is one of my favorite Armchair Expert guests that I've ever listened to.
How long ago was she on Armchair Expert?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'll have to go back and listen to that.
It's a good one. Things I'm not clicking on. Lamar Odom and Caitlyn Jenner are hosting a podcast together. Let that sink in.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Did you say Caitlyn Jenner?
Yeah. apparently, it's about sports. That's all I know, because I didn't click anything further. Travis Kelce to host Smarter Than a Fifth Grader. I want to fucking punch myself.
I will tell you what. I hope Taylor Swift talks him out of this. Talk about one of the most, I don't even want to say a bad career move. It's just fucking dumb.
Like, I feel like he could definitely host something, but like, to me, when they go to host these things, it just means their career is like on the decline.
Like a gasp, like their final gasp of any sort of like money
Steve
or fame.
Harvey or something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was in my Unclickables too, and he hasn't signed anything. I did see in the little under whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kate Beckinsale.
Brie hates a hospital selfie.
Listen, can somebody get her some water? She seems a little thirsty. What the fuck is up with that bow on her head? Hey, Ariana Grande wannabe. I love Kate Beckinsale. Broke Down Palace, fantastic. Underworld, great.
You've seen Underworld?
Well, yeah, because Scott Speedman was in.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Was it really a great movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't a good movie. I only
Pearl
saw
Harbor.
The first one. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these things. I keep seeing headlines. After 9 days, after 11 days. I don't care. Is she going to die? It's the thirstiest thing ever. And I really, it just gets to me.
Mic drop.
I have a couple podcast things.
Okay, let's jump into some podcasts.
I was listening to the Tom Sandoval podcast before you got here.
Gross.
Tom Sandoval claims he auditioned for the OC for Seth and Ryan, and that he got a call back for it.
Interesting.
I also sent you this, but he was a blip on the Hills when...
I feel like I remember that. Was it when, like, they were looking at models
yes.
for something? Yeah.
Now I can see where it fit, but when he was saying this, I was like, what? But yeah, I sent you the clip. It's pretty funny. There's nothing else memorable to say about anything else of his podcast, but the Felicity podcast has now had 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
I do like hearing from everybody. Like, it's really cool to hear from, like, J.J. Abrams and Matt Reeves. And we've heard from Scott Speedman and Scott Foley at this point. I know they said they're going to have Amy Jo Johnson on and Tanji Miller. So it's really cool to hear from all of these different characters and people that we normally don't get to hear from. My thought that I'm always having now is I've never been so jealous of Julia Lippman in my life.
She's doing a really good
job. She is doing a really good job. I wish it was, and I'm sure it will be at some point, but like a little bit more recappy. They're kind of just like breezing over things, and Greg Grunberg is making a lot of like jokes and whatever.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, but it's good. I like it, and I will keep listening. I'm curious if they will go the entire four seasons.
Right. I wonder if it's just all done.
Oh, yeah.
I assume it's all done.
Man.
I mean, like, all the...
Yeah, all recorded.
You didn't get a call.
Oh. That means I can stop thinking I'm going to be invited on the podcast.
Ugh. I have mixed thoughts about it. I've already shared those with you. Mm-hmm. I do think Juliet's doing a great job. I hope it's just toned down a little bit maybe going forward. I don't think I'll listen to every episode.
I was always really afraid to say anything bad about Felicity when we did the podcast. So when they're saying things, and Kara Russell said this too, like about how crazy she is and the psycho things she says, like I was just always too afraid to agree with those type of things when we recorded, because in the back of my psycho brain, I'm like, well, if Kara Russell ever listens to this and I call her psycho or something, she's never going to want to like be on the podcast or anything.
Right.
Psycho talk. Mm-hmm. And Kristen introduced us to this podcast a while ago called Bone Valley. Kind of a murder mystery type thing along the lines of Serial. It's a really good podcast. I highly encourage you all to listen to it if you like those kind of podcasts. But they're bringing up a new podcast, which is the other side of it. So it's the prosecutors, the murder of Michelle Schofield. And I just don't know how I feel about it. Do you think you will listen to it?
Maybe. I mean, it is good to always get both sides. True. Because obviously we're hearing from the defense's side and we're like, oh my God, this guy's totally innocent. But maybe hearing from the prosecution, which is probably the point of it,
mm-hmm.
you might really just have enough information to form like a real opinion, you know?
On our drive back to Mark's parents last week, we listened to a lot of random like crime podcasts. So we listened to a couple of podcasts on Making a Murderer and that case. And they brought up details that weren't in that documentary, obviously. And so Mark and I had a lot of discussions about like, do we still think they're innocent? Blah, blah, blah. But you know, at the end of the day, the lawyer's job is to prove innocent, prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. And I don't think they did that in that case. And I still don't think they did that in this case, but I will listen to it. In case anybody's wondering, we finished the second part of Making a Murderer.
I do think you brought that up on the last one.
Okay, cool.
I had thought we would be done talking about it, but no.
I'm going to just keep bringing it up every episode. Other than that, I didn't really listen to a lot of podcasts these last couple weeks. What about you?
I don't know. I've been in kind of a podcast rut. I have tried giving them Lala, and I just can't. She's bugging the shit out of me. We'll get more into that. Ringer Dish has been pretty good. And then I had finished, you know, my last audiobook I was listening to, the I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. She was on iCarly. I don't know, Nickelodeon. and it was really good. And now I just started today. It's called Class, and it's by the same girl who wrote The Maid, which is also that Netflix show with
what's her
McDowell's
face?
Daughter. Yep. Yeah,
Annie McDowell.
With her daughter. And it's really good. It's so fucking good. It pains my chest, some of the stories that she tells. It takes place after she leaves and goes to college in Missoula. So that's kind of where the show ends, is her going to getting accepted.
Oh, got it. Okay, so it's the same.
It's the same author.
Yeah, but like it's a continuance of
kind
it.
Of, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So, ooh, interesting.
Yeah, it's really good. So that's really what I've been listening to.
I will say I got another 3-month Audible subscription for 99 cents. And the first book I downloaded was the Paris Hilton memoir. So I will listen to that soon.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I love that you're going down this memoir kick.
Yeah, me too. Should we talk about Vanderpump?
Yeah.
Cool. We have two episodes to kind of talk about however we want to. Last week we saw a lot of Sheena being upset about Dancing with the Stars. And Lala interjecting, trying to get Ariana to like come to Sheena's defense about the photo that she was getting all that shit about. And it ended with Lala and Katie getting fucking into it.
So I rewatched this episode last night because Mark hadn't seen it yet, because I watched it on my computer at his parents. And he, like, all of a sudden, he was just like, God, Katie's such a bully. And I was like, what? And basically, I don't even really remember his reasoning, but this is at the scene when they're at that restaurant. It's Katie, Sheena, Lala, and Christina Kelly.
Love Christina Kelly.
And when Sheena is saying something about how her and Sandoval's friendship has gone over 12 years, and she's just thinking back on that, and Katie's like, nobody cares about 12 years ago, like, basically, like, let it go. And, like, Lala is just like, she doesn't have to let it go. So Mark was, like, agreeing with that. And while I agree you don't have to let it go, Katie has been just put through the fucking ringer on this show. I don't even want to call it a bad edit, but she does have a bad edit on basically every single season. And it's Schwartz's fault that she has a bad edit, because in the beginning you love Schwartz, but now he's just a piece of shit. And, like, I agree with her that Tom Sandoval played a huge part in the demise of their marriage. We all saw last season two seasons ago when he's like, oh, I'm bringing all the money into your household. And he just is such a dick to her all of the time.
For sure. And I don't even know that she's getting a bad edit this season.
I don't think this season is. Like, just, you know, from, like, seasons 1 to 7 or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, the same dinner you're talking about, I agree that Sheena can hang on to that, but the fact of the matter is, everybody is telling Sandoval he can't hang on to 10 years ago when Kristen cheated with James or whatever.
Yep.
Okay, so, like, you can't have it both ways.
Exactly.
Why can he not hang on to it, Lala, but Sheena can? And the way Lala talks to Katie is really condescending when she's like, that's you. That's you. You know, we moved on. We were talking about the bartender. Oh, my God. I'm done with Lala. And especially these fucking rumors I'm hearing about the reunion.
What rumors have you heard about?
We'll talk about it in a second.
My stance on her and Katie, because we did see this week's episode where they go out to lunch or whatever and, like, both apologize.
Yeah.
And I think...
Which is mature.
They were both right and they were both wrong.
Yeah.
And basically what I think is, like, hey, Sheena, fight your own fucking battles.
Sheena.
Like, when they're at Allie's, or when Allie's doing the astrology reading and Sheena is just, like, sitting there on the couch, just, like, looking at Lala, like, basically, like, oh, I can't wait to hear what she's saying next. You're 40 fucking years old. Like, stand up for yourself. This is your best friend who you've been friends with for a decade plus. And you can't say these things to her. Are you serious?
Oh, for sure.
It is so weird. And I don't know why Lala thinks it's her place to, like, tell Ariana, like, we should really have commented on it. And, like, this is what she's afraid of. And, well, see, you can't do these things. You can't come off like that. Yeah, she fucking can.
Mm.
Like, Mark and I talked about this too. Ariana isn't doing anything. She's not being a fucking, like, asshole about things. She's not sitting there just, like, crying and being like, I hate Sandoval. She is just moving the fuck on with her life.
Right.
And whether this is 3, 5, 6 months after the affair broke, she can take as much time as she needs to heal from this. And if she gets weirded out about people hanging out with Sandoval and her, I totally understand that.
Yeah. Well, that leads into this week, right? So when finally Ariana, like, goes to the same bar that Tom Sandoval's at, he loses his shit.
Yeah.
Not, like, too much outwardly, but the daggers he is, like, shooting at her and, like, the control he wants over her. I listened to the Morally Corrupt podcast, so a lot of these thoughts are their thoughts, but I completely agree with them. He has no control over her, and that is why she's setting these boundaries, because she doesn't want him to know her anymore, because that is a sense of control. And just like they said on the podcast, which I agree with, like, the fact that he has the people over and then leaves the house a fucking wreck the next morning is a sense of control. It's like anything. So he was so distraught that she showed up. And
loved it.
It was just amazing. And he didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Talk about a mic drop moment. And I'm glad she's getting to that point now where she will go, because those are her friends too, where she'll go there, but she doesn't even give him a look or the time of day. And it's so just a fucking power move. And I loved it.
100%.
God. At first, when Sheena started talking to him, I was like, wow, you're giving him, like, pretty good advice. And then he, of course, goes back into saying the same shit he's been saying. And then she walks away and James is just like, James is my MVP of this season still so far, as is Allie. I just love that you turn around and out of nowhere, there's just James, like, calling him out on something. It makes the episode for me.
What did you think about their little bro night?
I agree with Ariana about this. And then I also agree that James is, like, his own whatever. But I almost think James, I don't think he's going to get sucked back into Sandoval, but I feel like he likes going to these things, so he knows, like, what's going on.
He thrives on the drama.
Yeah. So I don't see it, him hanging out with Sandoval in, like, a bro again type way. I think it's more of like he's going to be like the eyes and ears for everybody else.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I do. And I these girls were also saying about James, like, he doesn't really fight well, like, argue yeah. well. So, like, they were kind of bringing up when Jax walks in, which we can get into in a second, but and how excited he was just watching that drama. Because, like, Jax is saying everything he wants to say to Sandoval, but just doesn't, you know? And so, yeah, I think James, like, ultimately doesn't give a fuck about Sandoval. He's on a show. Yep. He's going to do scenes with him because that's what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I have in my notes that Sheena is beyond saving for me.
Like, big time.
Sheena's done. I don't care what else she does. I don't care what she doesn't do. If her and Ariana are friends again, I don't care. She's just, if she went off the show, I would be totally fine with it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, so. The fact that her and Ariana had the talk, you know, in this week's episode about the Dancing with the Stars thing and just like the look on Ariana's face, like this was like on Instagram too, like, you know, it just. With Sheena and what she's saying, she's already made the decision, even if she doesn't know it.
If let's say in like 5 years.
Yeah, like she doesn't even know that she's made the decision to become friends with Sandoval again. Like that's just the bottom line. And bottom line is her and Ariana probably aren't going to be friends. And here's a little hot take prediction is I don't feel like Vanderpump Rules is going to come back next year. I just feel like it's going to transition into the Valley.
I agree with that.
And there's going to be no place for Ariana or Katie. Mm-hmm. And everybody else is going to go on that show. Tom Schwartz. Sandoval.
And I feel like Ariana and Katie will be fine with that.
Yeah. I hope.
Hopefully. But like, yeah, I don't know how I see Vanderpump coming back because everything that you've been saying about how this all feels forced, you're 100% right. And once you realize that, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And it's just so disconnected now. And it's just, it's so far from what it was.
But what happens to James and Allie?
I don't know.
Maybe they'll get a spinoff. I don't think I'd watch it, though.
I don't think I would watch it.
Nope.
As much as I love James. Like, oh, yeah. How do we feel about that pool party?
So fucking weird.
It was really funny. So on his podcast, he started the sentence by saying that there was a little bit of a creative editing. And I thought he was going to say about how awkward they made it look in the pool scene. But he said because they made it look like Ariana was home when everybody was there and she wasn't. Like, she left before all those people got there. So that leads me to believe that this pool party with these desperate girls to be on TV was as cringe as it seemed.
Yeah, they were kind of talking about that too today and how they were thinking there was some creative editing going on. Like they were just showing the same loop of these girls' face, but it just was not the case.
Oh my God. First of all, hey, two girls, like, what are you doing? You know, and like, hey, Sandoval, are you serious?
Oh my God.
Yeah, my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend's my roommate, you know.
I crumble up potato chips and keep her in the room.
It was so weird. And maybe it would have been a little bit funny or understandable if he was drunk, but he was stone cold sober. It is amazing to me to watch this like 42-year-old man try to interact with girls.
Yeah, and the fact that Schwartzy had the wherewithal to leave because vibes were getting weird. You know, if he's like Schwartz is like your moral compass of weird vibes, like something's going on.
I have that in my notes. I was really impressed that he left.
Mm-hmm.
And even, of course, he was on Sandoval's podcast this week. I'm assuming he's just going to be on every week. But he said something to him that you always have to remember that when you start saying like dumb things, it's not just you that's impacted. It's your friends. It's your business and whatever.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think about their business much anymore.
So Schwartz does have some redeeming phrases every now and then.
What did you think of the fact that Tom Sandoval cheers to those two girls and said, cheers, bitches?
Man, I don't even know if I noticed it.
Like, hey, Sandoval, you're not a bitch. So you can't like you are, but you can't actually say that because you're not a woman.
And I think this was last week's, but Lisa saying that she spoke to Raquel at length on the phone and then didn't tell Sandoval that she basically was done with him. Tell him. Who cares? He's going to find out anyways. I don't need to see him with these crocodile tears in the closet. Like, I made a Felicity reference with Kristen, you know, like on the Fugue episode when Noel has like those two pictures of Hannah and he just keeps flipping back, flipping back, flipping back. That was like watching Tom Schwartz with these pictures or Tom Sandoval with these pictures. Like, I just miss her so. Barf.
For sure. Oh, I have one more question with Ariana Factor and the reunion. Like, she's kind of always been on the outside in this show.
Yeah.
It's been her and Sandoval, and then she's just never been in. Like, she's been in with Katie for the most part sometimes, but on and off with Lala and like in with Sheena, but she's just never collectively been in with the group, I feel.
Yeah.
So like the fact that the group is going to ultimately choose Sandoval is completely unsurprising.
Yeah. Because I guess, I mean, who's left of the group now? If you take Katie and Ariana, it's Sheena, duh, James. I'm just going to call James like middle ground. Schwartz, Brock.
Right.
I'm going to say anybody. Like, it's just there's nobody left that has like the balls to like, we need a Stassi in this situation of somebody who's just going to like.
Yeah.
Dictate. And we don't have that.
Like the fact that Sandoval came down in the kitchen to make his protein smoothie and Katie was, he was like, you just need to give me a little grace. She's like, nah.
I love Katie so much. Mm-hmm. I was so proud of her and the way she handled that. I'm so glad she didn't pull like a Sheena or something where she's like, yeah, I accept it. Thank you for apologizing. I really needed that. Right. Anything. She was just like, get the fuck away, you troll.
Right. So that kind of leads us into the last scene where we get like the best couple of minutes all season with Jax reemerging, which the fact of when he walked into Tom Tom and all the people in there were like, oh my gosh, you know, just like the random people. And then the look on Sandoval's face when he walked in was just pure like, fuck. It's just, it brought me all sorts of like good nostalgia, even though I hate Jax.
God, I hate him so much. And his face is so much more punchable than it was back in the day. I can't even like put into words, but it has been said, Kristen and I haven't watched The Valley yet, but we have heard that that scene of him leaving is where The Valley picks up. Which makes me more excited to watch it. And man.
Yeah, the Morley Krupp girls, Joanna liked it. She gave it a 7 out of 10.
The Valley?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Callie didn't love it, but she said she wasn't planning on watching it. But the fact that that last episode led into it made her stay. So, and she'll probably continue watching it.
All right.
She just doesn't care about the people yet, which valid. I mean.
I liked that he said all the things he said to Sandoval. But, and I told Kristen this, he's such a robot. He said the same things on Heidi and Spencer's podcast about, oh, my life is great. I'm a dad. I've got a wife. It's like he's just hitting these bullet points, the same thing over and over again. And I'm excited to see him unravel in the Valley. So there's that. I still don't understand anything with him and Brittany, but who cares? We'll get into that at some point later. God, I don't even know what else to say about it.
He cuts deep, man. He criticized, he tells Sandoval he looks like he's 50. That his bar basically sucks. And I'm like, wow, yikes. Yeah, so good episodes.
Probably the best episode of the season.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't know if we have time to talk about Summer I Turned Pretty the way I want to.
Okay, let's save it.
Okay, because I watched 3 episodes, so I have things to say.
Okay. I didn't rewatch the 3rd episode yet, but I want to talk about Survivor more than that right now.
Okay, I haven't watched the latest.
God damn it.
I'm so sorry.
Can I spoil it?
Otherwise,
then we should talk about Summer I Turned
Pretty. I don't think so. Okay, let's talk about Summer I Turned Pretty.
All right.
So I watched 3 episodes, and it's so good. I mean, it's like the 2nd episode was just meh, but then it made up for it in 3 and 4.
Because the 2nd episode is where she's getting ready for a cotillion, or sorry, not cotillion. It's not the OC.
The debutante.
The debutante thing.
So it did set up for some good relationships. And, you know, that one guy, the first guy, is just kind of a doof. So I'm glad he's hopefully almost out of the picture. Yeah, he's in there for like 4 episodes.
Who are you talking about right now?
The guy she goes on the date with to the drive-in.
Yes. I can't think of his name.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? I forgot how they met, though, and it was pretty cute rewatching the first episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She just doesn't feel it with him.
Yeah. You know? How are your feelings getting towards Conrad or... Oh, my God, I blinked. What the fuck is his name? Jeremiah. Conrad or Jeremiah?
Which one is the mopey one?
Conrad.
I like Jeremiah better.
Cool.
I need more from Conrad.
He's so... I forget how... Especially, like, in the birthday episode, but even in the 1st and the 2nd episode... Especially when she shows up to the bonfire party, he's just such a fucking dick. But he's such a, not a Ryan Atwood.
Like a Dylan McKay, though. Yeah. Like
all of these people, like, in one, where he just wants to keep her at arm's length, like, just close enough where if he, like, wants her, she's there. But if he wants, whatever. But, yeah, Jeremiah is so much fun, and he's so adorable.
Yeah. I mean, how old are these people? I mean, I know she just turned 16.
Oh.
The one's about to go off to college.
Yeah, her brother is about to go off to college. And I think Conrad is that same age where he is a senior right now.
God, I mean, these kids just drink.
Like, I know.
These parents just allow them to just drink all the time. I thought we were going to get an alcoholic storyline with the blonde mother, but turns out she's dying. So that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. I forget how peppy she is in the first few episodes before you find that out. And I mean, I obviously remember that she had cancer, but in the first I'm like, God, she's so smiley.
Where is her husband from?
He's the brother. He's a brother, right? Like a Cameron brother, Kirk Cameron, or not Cameron. He is from, yep.
It's okay. We can Google it.
We'll fact check it. But same thing with her. She's from something too, and I can't put my finger on it. Like a bad show, I think. Mm. But
yeah, I don't really know like how much more there is to say about it, but it's just a good watch. I like her hair, but I wish she would put it up sometimes. But she has a great personality. She gets along with everybody. You know, her little friend who came to visit, Taylor. Just kind of way jealous of the attention.
How'd she feel her hooking up with her brother?
It didn't bother me. But I do like his brother's girlfriend, so.
Interesting, the bougie one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like how she talks.
You do find, like, in these next couple episodes, you do get those characters more. The brother's girlfriend and the girl who is with Conrad right now. I can't think of her name. But so you do kind of start going into those types of circles and getting them a little bit more. I want to say episode 4 is the dead ball.
Episode 5. I just watched episode 4.
Oh, okay. Is episode 5?
That's the 4th of July episode.
Gotcha. Oh, the parents come, which is why you just asked
What's her name? Benny Blanco? Just kidding.
Belly.
Benny Blanco, isn't he who dates Selena Gomez? Belly.
Andre the Giant, yeah.
Gets drunk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Off of those margaritas.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I love that. She gets so drunk and it's a good episode.
Yeah.
We should talk more about that next week, though.
Watched 3. You watch it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm glad you're watching the show. And it is just like I don't want to say a fun rewatch, but it's just so like, it brings you back to like being that age and it's just kind of fun, nostalgic.
Yeah.
For sure. Since they all dress the same as we did when we were younger now.
For sure.
Oh, man. I can't believe you didn't watch Survivor. I was so fucking excited to talk about it.
I know. Sorry. We watched basketball last night. March Madness.
All of these notes I have on Survivor.
Yeah. March Madness is going on and things.
Well, can I at least say who I'm liking in Survivor? This doesn't give anything away.
Sure.
Tiff. She is on the Purple Tribe. The black girl with like the super pretty like braids. It's the Mackenzie girl, the tattooed girl, and then it's Tiff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. I really like her. She's becoming one of my favorites. And besides that, I really don't have any other favorites.
Interesting.
So.
What about Hunter?
Oh, fuck yeah, Hunter. I forgot about Hunter. There are some gems of moments of Hunter in this episode. So excellent. I'm even more excited for you to watch. And what I'll say, and this is just a blanket comment about Survivor at this point, and I think I talked about this last season, but like, it's like these people are acting and they're just going through the motions of what they think Survivor should be like. Like during this episode, they show that one fucking Venus girl like sweeping around the campfire. Like she's not sweeping anything, but it's just like, I think I saw somebody else in Survivor do this, so I should do this. It's just, it feels disingenuous. Like a lot of these newer seasons.
And how do you feel about when people walk up to the challenges and Jeff Probst says, getting a look at the new Ravi team, and everybody looks really surprised?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know you're going to get camera time. Like, shit like that is so annoying to me.
Yeah. And I'm excited. I think we talked about this, but every couple of seasons, they mix it up a little bit. Like, I'm done with the Beware advantages. I don't need them anymore. I think they're pointless. I don't love, and I think you agreed with this too, like when they go off and like the three people and two people have a chance to do something and maybe they lose their vote. Like we need to mix this back up a little bit.
Well, yeah, because with all the Beware advantages, you and I were talking about this, we have to see the first one get it and then it's a whole thing. But then we have to watch two other tribes get it and we're like, yeah, we get it. We know because we already saw the other tribe get it. Let it be a different Beware advantage or something.
And like, this isn't even a bad Beware advantage. It's like you lose your vote until you lose the challenge.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't even need your vote until you go lose a challenge. Exactly. And you go to and tribal.
Once you lose the challenge, you just
go
you
get dig
the,
it back
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you get the fucking clue.
Yeah.
God.
And the other thing too is I'm so fucking sick of everybody having to have a story on this show. Mm-hmm. Like you'll see it this episode, this is not giving anything away, but like they're catching a fish or something and this guy's like, I got this, guys. It's like my dad taught me how to do this. And I'm like, oh my
guess,
God,
his dad's dead.
Dad. Of course he has a dead dad. Like everybody has the same fucking story, but they all think it's so unique. And I don't need that shit shoved down my throat. Like, I'm a mother. I don't care. I don't care. Play the fucking game, make some moves, and then we can go on. Wait till it's later on in the season to like with the stories, you know?
Yeah, most we don't need people who are going to see just one more week exactly. their stories. Oh, I want to say I did listen to Chris Harrison and Lauren Zima on the Skinny Confidential podcast, and I really enjoyed it. It was good to hear Chris Harrison's voice again. He's very likable.
He seems like he'd be a really great podcaster.
Yeah, like they have
one, right? Yes. Yeah, okay.
And I was maybe going to listen to it. But anyways, I was going to tell you, he brought up Greg Grunberg. He's like, yeah, Greg Grunberg's a good friend of mine, and he's good friends with like, J.J. Abrams. And I forget in what context he was talking about him. But anyways, it was just kind of funny. I'm like, oh, there it is. And he was like, he's been in so many shows, like Alias and Heroes. Lost. And he didn't even bring up Felicity. And I was like, oh, sad.
Oh.
Yeah.
We went to the credit union today to open up our first joint account. And the girl helping us, her name was Carrie, K-E-R-I. And I was like, it's a good omen because it's like Carrie Russell.
It's really
You should have seen the look Mark gave me.
Did you say that?
Yeah. Aloud. Not to her.
Oh, okay.
But just to Mark quietly. Yeah. I think that's it. I know. We're speeding through this because we got happy hour in about 7 minutes and I'm very excited about it. So we have to.
Yeah. I think actually we're all good.
I know. I just had my swimsuit review comment that I told you about that I wanted to get into the pod, but that's just going to make me sound like an asshole. You know, with like, there was like a swimsuit review where somebody was like, as a mom, I would appreciate some more coverage on the bottoms. Hey, fuck off, lady. I'm not a mom and I would still appreciate some more coverage on the bottoms.
Right.
You don't need to like bring this back to being a mother or whatever the fuck. Like, just leave your goddamn review.
Right. And hey, by the way, we love mothers. We have one.
Yeah.
Our best friends are mothers. But we don't need it shoved down our throats. Mom stuff.
Oh my God. Sorry. This is my last thing.
Probably why we're losing listeners.
I was going to bring Barbies back for Claire, 80's daughter. And we started going through them. And I was like, I had all the accessories dumped out, like food and like whatever. And number one, a lot of those are worth some money. Okay. And then after a couple minutes, I was like, I don't think I'm ready to do this right now.
Dude, I want to see the Barbie stuff. Do you want to play Barbies later?
So Mark was going through some of these things. And like, I mean, we can show you later, but. Like a little tiny like camcorder is like $30. And so, yeah, it's really fun to go through.
Dude, you guys about to be rich, bitch.
I just
down payment for the camper.
We kept like such good care of our toys where it's all in good condition. So
is it? Okay, nice.
Yeah. So anyways, if you have old toys laying around, you should be checking those before you get rid of them.
Nice.
You know, just good practice. I'm only saying that because all my Polly Pockets I gave to my nanny girls and they're now worth a ton of money.
Like anyways, how much? Give me a price.
Oh, like hundreds and hundreds of dollars like per thing. And I think I had like 15 of them. So,
yeah.
Regrets. Anyways, it's been so good to be back. Thank you for your patience while I was recovering. And Kristen is actually going on a little mini vacay next week. So if it's not her and I recording, it'll be me and a guest host, Mark. So...
Boy, I can't wait to listen to what Mark's clickables are.
God, fuck.
Reddit went on the stock market today.
I miss Reddit's campers. Anyways, cool. So we'll be back in some form next week. Until then, you know where to find us. Instagram, Salty Sisters. Boom.
Bye.
Bye.